New Haven community.
That's real pretty.
Good evening. The time is 6:11. Today's date is May 31st, 2016. And this is a training workshop for the Gun Appeal Independent School District. Sonia, can you please call roll?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Princey.
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez.
Here.
Mr. Medina.
Present.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Soros.
Here.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
Item number 2, training workshop, and this is Master Plan final presentation. David Sturz and Mr. Collins.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to be with you all again. We do have a PowerPoint presentation to review with you. You have a printed copy. To let you know that since the printed copy was sent prior to the break, Paul has worked with Bruno on your side and gone line by line again through all of the information and found that the total that we had in recommendations of 11.4, they actually got it down to 10.2 million on a budget estimate right now. So that is a change you'll see reflected on the screen.
So just one page?
Yeah, so what you'll see is there's about 3 pages where we go through every individual school. And so you'll see the totals are going to be slightly smaller on this one because they summed to 10.2 and not 11.4. Okay. And I added one slide to talk about utilization. So there's a few minor edits there, but electronic copy is available, plus hard copy if you'd like after the meeting. My plan is we're going to go through the presentation. If there are questions during it, please feel free to ask. Of course, there'll be Q&A discussion when we're done. We'll talk about next steps. Before we get into the presentation, Ron is here, and Ron has Gatlin is a part of the steering committee. It's actually one of our co-chairs. So just first of all, I want to acknowledge the fact that he came to this presentation, and since he did, we asked him just to introduce, just to reflect a little bit on the whole process since he was there from the beginning. So he's going to just do a brief 30 to the 60 second sort of overview, and then we're going to get into the presentation.
Well, good evening, Board President Fritzy, board members, Mr. Galvez, Dr. Galvez. This was a pretty eye-opening experience for me myself, and I think if we'd have done something like this prior to our last bond election, we would probably have been a lot better off than we are right now, knowing a little bit more about our facilities and what we needed to actually do, and had some more firmer figures that we could go with when we actually went out for the bids for the projects. During my meetings with some of the community, there was a lot of concerns about closing the schools and what we're going to do with them. And I think it really opened up the eyes to some of the community that we really are have an overabundance of classrooms that we're not using. And I think they see now that it was kind of hard for them to believe, and it was kind of hard for me to believe too when I started seeing all the growth out here and all the new business and everything, and then see that our enrollments kind of stagnant, kind of stale, so that kind of opened my eyes too. And a lot of community members brought that to my attention too, that they just couldn't believe that with all the growth and everything that's going on in the County Teal District, that our student enrollment is still down. So, and they're concerned about our buildings. They still have a little bit of bad taste in their mouth over the last bond, but I think since we are bringing this up on the open and they're getting a better view of what's actually going on in the district, I think they're going to support it a little bit more than they would have prior to this. So it did. Some of the people didn't realize what this was all about until we finally started looking at it, and they said, "Well, why are we doing this? What's this all about?" And I said, "We're trying to identify what the needs of the district are, what we're going to be doing in the next 5 to 10 years." And I said, this was probably going to identify what we need to maybe go out for another bond election and decide what we need to go and ask the community for. So some of them were very excited about that. Some of them said, well, we'll see, see what comes of it and see what plan we come up with and see what the needs really are. So that's what I got out of it. I tried to stick with it. I don't think I missed one of the meetings because I was out of town. But other than that, I thought it was a well thought out plan. And like I said, if we'd have done this prior to the last bond election, I think we'd have been a lot better off than we are at this point. I was here and present to witness all of the issues we had with that last one. I understand why some of the things didn't get done the way we wanted them because of some of the issues and the underestimating of the projects, but I do commend this board. I think they did a good job on doing what they could with what they had as far as that last bond. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ron. Okay, so the PowerPoint presentation, if you've had a chance to review, is divided into two sections. One is a review because we have not had a chance to meet since the second community dialogue. It is a review of those responses. And then the second half is a review of the recommendations themselves, with the last slides talking about some next steps. So with that, when we look at the community dialogue responses, forgive me if I turn a bit to the side, we had a total of about 100 people, a little less than 100 people fill out a paper questionnaire there at the meeting. We had a little over 130 fill it out online. And fairly representative of your district as a whole, particularly when we look at the by school responses, keeping in mind that not everybody responds to every single question, so we have to, you know, plus or minus 5% kind of understanding here. But those who attended the community dialogue were predominantly from Bill Childress, and those are hard numbers, those are not percentages, predominantly from Bill Childress, and then from Conotillo Middle. And so when you see the responses in pink, the paper responses, that's going to be the dominant of that influence. When you look at the web was actually more representative of your district as a whole, with most of the respondents there from Conotillo Middle, followed by, Conotillo High School, followed by Damian Alarete, and then Childress. So, and Garcia. So about half of the respondents who came are affiliated with either BCE or CMS, whereas most of our web respondents were with the high school.
Do you have a total of all? How much were, because you have it broken down, but you don't have this is how many attended the CD2, this is web, and this is total overall, how many respondents we have?
Well, we had, for overall, the sum here, the totals on the percent side, if I can speak out here, maybe that'd be easier. The totals on the percent side here show of the total responses between the paper and the web, 20% of the total respondents from Bill Childress. So this percentage is the sum of these lines divided by the sum of all.
But there's no overall number that you can provide us as to how many were at this community dialogue 2, how many were the web total. And then those
I can. Them. Yeah, that's this is the numbers. So if you add up this column,
okay,
that's the total number of those who say they affiliated with the school. Now, but that wouldn't be an exact one-to-one count. The real number for that is right here. We had 95 paper questionnaires completed.
Okay, there you go.
Right, because some people will say that they affiliate with multiple schools. You know, so that's your hard number, 95 and 132.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So I'll just narrate this first question here. And as you recall, we had four general categories of options. And the first two options here involved taking the ninth graders out of the high school. The first option was converting AMS to a ninth grade center. And the second option was converting both middle schools to 7 to 9. And what you want to look at, generally over here, we have strong support on the left, followed by support down to no support. And if you look, I like to look at strong support and support. Little support, they're on the fence, right? And what you want to look at, who's really supporting it? And most of your responses on this question are in the strong support and support realm. Now, when you go to the next two options, options 3 and 4, just looking over at the bars, you see that they're over on the other side of the page now. There was relatively little support for the second half of the options, which converted CMS to a K-8 center, the fourth option, which did so and converted JDE to a skilled tech. Those received the lowest support of any of the options. And as we discussed them in the recommendations, the case for those options was not strong enough to overcome the antagonism to them. And so the benefits really did not weigh those challenges. And so that's where we stuck in looking at recommendations focusing on the 7 to 9 for the ninth grade center, and ultimately found that there seemed to be strong enough support and enough of a compelling argument to move to a ninth grade center option, which you'll see in the recommendations. When we look at the second question, it asked folks to rank in their order of preference these options. So the first one, the first set of questions to simply ask them to rank their support by each one. The second one asked them to rank their preferred. And the ninth grade center option in blue is the total responses. In the gold there is the group. The ninth grade center slightly edged out the 7 to 9, but they both received fairly high support. And you can see the precipitous drop off here when we look at support for the other two. So that's where we really put our focus. Okay. So, as you know, your high school is fairly full. And when we ask the question, okay, well, if for any reason we would not have an option that would pull the ninth graders out of the high school, would you support putting an addition at the high school? And the answers were all over the map. There was no consensus. So there's no strong feeling here. 55% strong support and support, with the others being little support, no support, and don't know. So we didn't take that as very strong, but because we were ended up recommending an option to take the ninth graders out, we don't have to address this issue. Now, this fourth question was an evolution of the question that started with the fervor, if you will, on Bill Childress' option. And so this question was a broader question that said, okay, this is your available capacity of 8,522 students in your total district capacity. You currently have just under 6,000, and that's projected to be flat. So you have 2,500 extra seats. Rate your support for repurposing Wynn Elementary School in the future to reduce underutilization at the elementary level. So what we found interesting is that those people who filled out the questionnaire first, now keep in mind, who were the respondents? Predominantly BC and CEMS. Only 33% showed strong support and support for those options, okay? But then look what happens when they get into a group. That same group of folks, when they answer the question individually in the beginning, only a third of them supported it. When they got into groups, almost two-thirds supported it. 62%. Same people.
Madam Chair, just a question.
Go ahead.
What happens here?
I have a question on this particular question itself. So the actual question was presented as this.
Yes, sir.
Considering that by suggesting that our enrollment's going to stay stagnant, essentially, for the next 4 years.
On the whole.
Wouldn't that bias your results?
Say that again.
You're basically stating a fact of we're not going to grow for the next 4 years.
Right.
Wouldn't that bias the results or the answers, given the fact that you're giving them this information?
Well, I guess
in other words, are you leading them to the question that you're looking for?
I guess I would say the data is already out there in our enrollment projection report. So we either gave them the data and had everybody on the same playing field, or didn't and had some people on different playing fields.
Okay.
And so I bias towards giving people the facts and saying, here's the goal, here are the facts, what do you think? And what they said here in the beginning was, I don't think so. And then they got to a group and doubled the support rate. And what we talked about, and when I see this happen, this is part of the reason we do the group questionnaire.
Correct.
So we want to see, is there a shift between individual and group? Because when there is, what that indicates in some way, shape, or form is that when folks come in with a preconceived notion, they answer one way. And when they're forced to dialogue with others who have different notions, information exchange happens and some opinion shift can happen. Now, that's interesting. Now, keep in mind, these are groups of 6 to 8 to 10. You were there at the meetings, you saw them. A 95 people breaking into groups, we're not talking about huge sample sizes here, but that's a big shift. And what people, anecdotally, when I walked around the room, were saying was there was a lot of good discussion about the cost benefit of keeping those extra seats open. And there were some people that came in with a real hard position that, hey, we want to save tax dollars, we're going to be more efficient, and some, I mean, don't close anything. And they had a talk, and that's why I love what we do in these meetings. It gets the conversation going. Now, follow that with this question. This was a very intentional question to follow, which asks, if you answer no support to the previous question of considering future elementary consolidations, is there any amount of cost savings for the district that you believe would justify repurposing the school? And most people said no. So, for those who responded that there was no support for any consideration of future consolidations, those folks also said there's no amount of cost savings that could sway my mind when we asked them individually. Now, in the group, it's interesting that some groups didn't even turn in a questionnaire response to this. Very few did. But then the responses were split. So the same kind of shift happened, although at a different scale. What this means is that in the future, we don't have a consolidation in the recommendations per direction from your leadership. But in the future, would that be considered? That's a talking point to dive into, is what exactly are these cost benefits? And they can be determined. Okay, so let's switch to where we had strong support in spades. Rate your level of support for selling approximately 90 acres of unused land to help fund facilities and district needs. 73% strong support and support. And if you count just little support, you crest into the 80s. And if you read the comments in that report, there's a lot of strong sentiment on this particular issue. So there was a pretty unanimous decision or opinion. Rate your level of support for moving central office. Again, kind of all over the map when we talked about it individually. And then when folks got it together into groups, 92% strongly supported or supported it. So this was another shift from the individual to the group conversations. Reading the report, reading the narrative responses here, what I surmise happened is in these groups, when we talk about it, this was all about an efficiency question. Can we be more efficient? Can we be more efficient? And it seems that the group conversation swayed that perhaps we could. So, the next question had to do with priorities for bond monies. If the district were to ask taxpayers to fund a bond to address facility needs, what items are most important to you? And of facility repairs, modernizing existing classrooms and technology, first repairs, then modernization and technology. Now, and when people got into groups, technology actually became the second most important. As you know, and as Paul can get into greater detail than I, your facilities are in pretty good shape on the whole. And so the total number of dollars needed for your critical repair needs is relatively small compared to the other things. The ninth question was to get a litmus test, really, of where support for a total package of funds where the support would crest over the no support. And so we had a total of $41.5 million in priorities 1 through 5 deficiencies. These are things that are broke right now, $41.5 million. If you remember, the total number of identified needs was over $70 million when we started. In the current things that are broken, from everything from the most critical to paints and carpet, was $41.5 million. So, questions were, okay, if you did everything, priorities 1 to 5 would be 41.5. If you did priorities 1 to 4, it would be 31.1. 1 to 3 would be 14 million. 1 to 2 would be 6 million. Priority 1 only would be under a million. So, rate your support for addressing these levels of repairs. And what we found is that the support crested 50%, strong support and support crested 50%, somewhere between 6 and 14 million. And as we were working through our recommendations, that's one of the things that we tried to keep in mind was prioritizing within a range that seemed to be acceptable to your community. Let me put a caveat in here and an asterisk. This is not a full-blown bond tolerance survey. There are folks who do that. Statistically significant surveys of likely voters. This is an open survey to anybody who would want to come. If you decide to go down that road, which I'll talk about at the end of the presentation, I highly recommend you get a statistically significant voter tolerance survey so that you have a clear direction and confidence as to where you need to be in that number, should you choose that path. So, what were the major themes from the community dialogue report? Both, if you look at the quantitative and the qualitative results, focus funding and decisions on the students and be fiscally responsible. That's if you read the comments, which I read every one, and you look at all of the different data, those were the overarching themes. Now, the recommendations. Here's the pathway. Based upon all of our work, and we went back into another full-day work session to look at these recommendations at the community dialogue results and all the data, presented all of this information to the steering committee for a fourth steering committee meeting and got their review and comment, and here they are. First step in generally speaking is sell excess land. Convert the elementary configuration to PK6. Create a district-wide 7th through 8th grade center. Repurpose old central offices A and B for the day program and district police. Change your high school configuration to a 10 through 12. Create a district 9th grade center. And transition the use of the Lone Star building. That is the building that has over $7 million in an identified repair, has asbestos issue, is underutilized. That alone is 75% of our total recommendations package if you were to pair this in full. So considering that. Yeah. Adrian?
Your central office is A and B. Is that located next to CMS?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the buildings that are unused at this time.
Correct. They're sitting unused, but part of the idea there is they can be configured kind of on a blank slate model. You could gut and redo relatively cheap as compared to Lone Star.
Correct.
And they don't have those kind of issues. And it'd just be educationally, I think, much more appropriate for the instruction.
Your 7th and 8th grade center, there'd be only one 7th and 8th grade center that would be CMS?
Yes, and you would have a 7th. So essentially, in the recommendations, jumping ahead, we'll go back to that. That's fine. No worries. From 7th grade on, the recommendations are every student stays together.
So 7th and 8th, CMS.
Yep.
9th grade is AMS.
And then, and I'll go through all of the steps.
Thank you, that's all I have.
And you'll see how that flows. We actually ended up, we had quite a bit of discussion about where should this 9th grade center be, where should the 7th and 8th grade center be, and what we ended up doing is we ended up thinking that this, recommending that the 7th and 8th grade center actually be at AMS, and that the 9th grade center be at CMS, and there's a couple of reasons for this. One, a lot of your growth is at in the Alderete area. Right. Two, students will be there twice as long as in the 9th grade center. Three, with the updated athletics facilities there in fine arts, one of nationwide, not you guys in particular, but nationwide, middle school is a platform for parents to hop to other districts. Why? Oftentimes it's because of those extracurricular offerings that some schools just don't have the economies of scale to offer at those grades. But the kids really want to they want to be the best in high school basketball or volleyball or band or whatnot, and this simply is not the opportunities. So part of this idea, as skipping ahead, which is okay, is that keeping all students together for K through 6 does multiple things. One, it accentuates your strength. You're not a mega district. You're a small district where everybody knows your name. You keep students together longer. Two, it better utilizes your facilities. You'll see down the line, when the slide that I added, the difference between the current utilization pattern in your school and the recommendations, because it brings the sixth graders into those buildings. When we do that, the recommendations put extra funds into those elementary schools to beef up the science programs there and fine arts to add some more there for those sixth graders coming down, which you can do when you have all of them there in economies of scale. Then, with all the kids there, K through six, then all staying together for the rest of the time, we keep cohorts together, that keeps kids together, that stops, that helps, we believe, stave off recidivism, kids leaving the district. And, you know, with your next step from the elementary levels is the school with all those new renovations for athletics and fine arts. That's a shiny thing. That's a nice thing. It's an attractive element to keep students together in the district. So that's all part of the logic that came into this. It was a strategy that included what's the best use of our facilities utilization-wise, and then what's the best strategy for the district as a whole to keep students here, to keep them together. So,
I think Ms. Gonzalez had another question.
Yeah, go ahead,
yes.
Ma'am.
Transition Lone Star Building.
Right.
I know that there was a question last time, what is the Lone Star Building? Mm-hmm. I know that at that time you had included the old County Elementary Building. Is that still correct?
Yes, the old Canatillo building, I think you've mentioned this at the steering committee meeting.
Yes, but you said you were going to correct that,
okay.
But I don't see it here, so is it still the old Canatillo?
I can see what we actually have a long form narrative report that we submitted with this. We'll look to see, make sure that change is in there. If not, we'll make it. But yes, it is the entire thing, that what you call the old Canatillo Elementary Building,
right.
The Lone Star Building.
It'd be the old high school as well?
Two-story building?
Yeah,
unused area.
Unused area.
The pink buildings outside of the outhouses.
All of it because of the condition needs and underutilization. Yeah. Now, what we recommend, and again, skipping around here, is that when it comes to the Lone Star facility, is first you need to find a home for the programs that are already there. And you can do that. One of the ideas is keep some of the programs local insofar as possible. Move up. We have an extra portable that you can use to house some of the programs there, and then continue to consider other homes for current programs like CMS or something. And then the day program being, you know, refurbished that building next to CMS. Then over time, you just basically recommend in the long term probably tearing the broken parts of that building down. Perhaps all of it. There's funds in there to do that, and the recommendations, and then making it a monument museum to the history of the district, because it's one of those chasing good dollars after bad situations at that building right now, because the condition is so far exceeding the value. It's one of these dicey situations. We have a group of old buildings that have historical value to a district, but monetarily they're a drain and they're underutilized. And so it's a phased approach that over time would move out, close it down, and make it an homage to the history of the district. But thank you for bringing that up again. So after the selling of excess land, if you recall the recommendations, we had the options we identified up to 90 acres of spaces that were not directly adjacent to a school building. Most of it's, of course, in these circles or moats around the district, around your buildings, but up to that about 90 acres we identified as something to pursue. The timeline to do so, we're not going to get, that's not our business. That would be reckless to start naming things for us, but we just see that we believe that's a strong recommendation with support from your district. Change the elementary to PK6, invest in science and arts programs, improves elementary utilization. Create the district 7th to 8th grade center at AMS for the reasons that I discussed. Repurpose the old central offices A and B for DAPE and district police. This is part of the transition out of Lone Star. Change the high school configuration to 10-12. What this does is it brings your high school utilization down into the 70s from 104. Now, one thing we haven't talked about is the Northwest Early College Program. They're sitting at 120% utilization. So, in many discussions back and forth, and what do we do with that? because that's a tricky situation where you own one part but not the other as far as the land and the buildings. So part of the idea was, with freeing up the space at the high school, the early college program could now offer and host some classes in the high school, but not all of its programming, thereby keeping itself together as a whole program and not diluting it too much, but giving a little relief valve from its utilization pressure. One of the common questions that came up in the steering committee and in the community dialogue was, in recommending a ninth grade center, are you saying that no ninth graders are going to go to the early college program? No. The early college program functions completely different. It is its own entity. It is essentially a magnet school. And so it does not operate within the feeder pattern logic of your K-12, standard K-12s. So this, in this option, it can utilize some open classrooms in the high school. It can get some relief. You're not adding capital dollars to the situation, and you're keeping the program together. The ninth grade center, district wide ninth grade center at CMS. Now, this is the only severely underutilized building in your portfolio under this recommendation, down to 50%. But part of that's intentional, because what we wanted to do in these recommendations is, by putting the ninth grade center, this is, of course, everybody knows, a pivotal year. Right, the ninth grade, we want to make sure that they graduate to the 10th grade insofar as possible on time and prepared. What we do with this option, by having 50% of that space open at CMS, is move student support services into that building. Rather than recommending moving this whole building, an office, putting all, as we did in one of the original options, just moving student support services in there so they can focus on those kids. They can be there and help provide the support so those kids are right there, and we can hopefully get more of those graduating on time with better results. And it helps part of that freeing up the Lone Star building and better utilizing your resources. So that, I think, is what we came out with, a real win-win on utilization and a facility investment and an academic investment, which is really, if you can get all three, that's the gold standard. And finally, from all this, you can start to transition out of using the Lone Star building and the old elementary gym. So this is where the slides change slightly because the numbers shift. Okay, but when you look at the categories of critical repairs, priorities 1 and 2, safety, roofs, electrical, HVAC, and plumbing, your top technology needs, like infrastructure, technology infrastructure, Wi-Fi, classroom instruction needs, educational operational enhancements, which get down to like the fine arts and science classrooms at the elementary school, for example. And then this is, in orange, is the total sum of the previous three columns. And then the project highlights, this just hits, as Bruno could attest, there's lots and lots of lines of individual line items by school. More than most people want to digest in a PowerPoint. So this is just highlights, and the full report is available to you, of course. And so you can just see through where the investment's about, $400,000 at the high school, $250,000 at the early college program. Most of that is in tech needs. And then kind of to your middle, we actually had $1.2 million in condition there. There's some needs at that school. But working on particularly safety, lighting, and security improvements, relocating the student support services, that's part of the 750.
You have a question on this one?
Yeah.
In particular, you're considering making this a ninth grade center.
Yeah.
Not considering a football program that's an old football field, and we're keeping it as is, whereas the 7th and 8th grade center, which will be a big middle school, would be on the Canterteal Middle or Alderete Middle School, whatever it tends to be, with upgraded facilities and a turf field. When the recommendation
sure. So that was a discussion point, right? And so there's these pro cons with it. So ninth grade program, yeah. Hey, that'd be great to have all those fresh new facilities over there for that year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a discussion of trade offs. And just skipping ahead to the very end, this is our report to you. You take it at the end, and if at the further discussion you believe some edits to be made, that's at your discretion, however you choose to proceed with it. But in our discussions, The idea, what won out as AMS is the fact that it's part of that logic and the strategy to keep the kids in by putting K to six all together, and then the next school is the one with all, you know, the nice new upgrades in it for 2 years at a building period of time for your future programs. That's where a lot of, you know, high school athletics and fine arts really thrive, is that when they start seeding it at that middle grade level. So it's a longer term strategy for that, with the idea being that for the ninth grade year, yeah, it'd be great if they had all that stuff too.
But you also call that a pivotal year where they could actually transfer out of our district. Is that correct?
The ninth grade center?
Yes.
Right, so that's why we wanted them all together with the student support services available for them right there.
But yet we don't give them the best facilities.
In terms of athletics and fine arts?
Correct.
No. But that's one piece of the pie, right? So we've got, you know, that's not the whole issue. And so while we consider that, we also know that in discussion that some of the students, we talked about the idea that scheduling-wise, you could look at scheduling some of the freer periods or flex periods towards the end of the day. Students, the ninth grade center needed to go to the high school to participate in sports. They would have that transition period at the end of the day to do that.
That brings another issue of transportation.
Yeah, it does, but transportation very often. So what you'll see is there's an offset of better utilization of your facilities, moving out of Lone Star and all that's going to save. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, every yin has its yang, right? And so, in this sense, a transportation from CMS to the high school is a fairly short, and the population would be fairly limited. It wouldn't be a major bus route. And so, it was a discussion point, but that's where we came down.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you see at the elementary levels here, raised, we did not put dollars in, it's brand new. In efforts of parity, we don't need to put a lot of, there's no critical repairs to raised, it's just brand new. So we don't have dollars there during this particular facilities master plan. But again, we're addressing the science, music, and art upgrades at all the elementary schools. We're looking at classroom Wi-Fi and multimedia technology at all the elementary schools. Addressing air conditioning needs at the schools that need them, particularly Davenport, Damion, and Childress. And then at central office, we have safety light and ADA improvements. We have the renovation of the old admin buildings for Dave and the police. And then we have the Lone Star building. We have monies in there for the phased removal of those buildings in time. And that's your 10.2 million, as opposed to 11.4. Where we started was 70.5, where we ended up with was 10.2. This is an additional slide. So the original 70.5, 27% of that focused on student instructional needs and technology. A lot of it was those 41.5 million in current deficiencies, plus another 30, around 30 in the life cycle needs, which are things that over 5 years will likely need repair. You see the shift at 63% of the recommendations money focus on student educational adequacy and technology needs. So that's a shift away from condition heavy to adequacy heavy and student technology. This is, I'm sorry, there were two slides. This is the additional slide on utilization. You have it in the printed report that was just delivered by Jacobs. And this just shows in the from red being overutilized, green being a healthy utilization range, and blue being underutilized. Your current situation here is your high school is at 104% utilization. Of course, we know Northwest, we have that set aside because that is a different animal. Your middle schools are at 55% utilized, and you have PK5 overall, you're at 65% utilized, with only Reyes being in the sort of healthy utilization range, the rest being low. In the recommendations, your high school will go down to 70. CMS, when we get the the student support services in there. We believe it may be about 77% utilized after we put the admin in. 7 to 8th grade center AMS would be about 65%. It's a little low, but it's better than 55, especially considering how we're using these now, considering we have the same amount of kids. And then PK6, we're looking at an overall utilization of 78% from 68. So, if we're looking at ultimate cash savings on capital and operating, school consolidation and closure is the way to go. That's not in this package. So what this does is this looks at maximizing the utility of your existing resources, where the only closure considered is Lone Star in time as you're able to find new and better facilities for those existing programs.
And by cash savings, Madam Chair, you're talking about our maintenance and operations, right?
Correct. Really both buckets. Right, both capital and operating. If you're looking at the initial, where you want to find that big hit, that's in a school closure. That's not on the table. So what this does is really we retool to focus on how do you best utilize your resources so you don't have one middle school that's a third full and another one that's 80% full in 5 years, or 75% full in 5 years. That's the track we're on.
So you're proposing 10 million, was that the?
10.2. And 10.2, and the way that works is that is an identified, and that's something that Paul's team has gone over with Bruno in the facilities department, looking at all those individual cost estimates that include escalation costs and soft costs up to 2019. So it's considering the fact that when you go, when you're going to do a repair like an HVAC system at a school or an air conditioning unit, probably not going to do it tomorrow. So when you do it, it has to fit in the right facility, so you need a little design work in there. So there's a soft cost model for that. And then since you're probably not going to do it tomorrow, it's phased in at $2019 dollars with that escalation in there. The reason being is the last thing we want to do is to give you a number of what you can go right now at Home Depot and buy. And if you do it in 2019, you don't have the cash to do it. So it's set up purposely in that respect, but it's not a bid number. It's a budget number.
So the rest of my question was, you're not giving us a cost on, suppose we don't do any of this. You're telling us we're wasting money on the buildings, but you're not giving us a cost of what we're wasting on
the
buildings.
So the cost of the status quo, you still have, if you said, all I want to do is fix my roofs and boilers, that's $3.8 million. If you want to do just...
No, you're missing the question.
The question is,
if $10 million is... You're telling us that our facilities are underutilized.
Right.
That's our problem. And so, if indeed they're underutilized and they're costing us money in that underutilization... Uh-huh. To the point that we're going to spend $10 million to change up everything we've got. Well, what is the cost of what you're saying, the dollar amount of that underutilization for the next 5 years?
Okay, I hear your question, but it's a bit of an apples and oranges because the condition of the utilization of your facilities, you are underutilized at the middle school level, you're half full. And as you're in elementary schools, you're about just a little over 60%.
But do you think it's going to cost us $10 million over the next 5 years?
To do nothing?
Exactly.
No.
Of course not. No.
No. It'll cost you, you should spend $3.8.
So changing everything up is really not an efficient way to spend your money because you've just spent three times as much money to change it up. Let me finish, sir. To change it up as to leave it as it was, correct?
You're mixing capital and operating dollars, but if you...
But you haven't given us that comparison, okay. Is what I'm saying. You're telling us 10, 2, 3, 1 is the bottom line here, that, you know, the...
So if here's what 10.2 is.
Mm-hmm.
In this process, when we looked at the different options, we considered what do we do about investing in new technologies for your schools? What do we do about educational adequacy in terms of the types of spaces and the type of equipment, like labs, science labs and those kinds of things, and fine arts updates and so on and so forth. And what do we do about critical repairs? In the total sum of all of those identified needs that went to 70.5 million, we prioritized a package of 10.2. Now, if you were to say, let's not do any of the configuration changes, let's stay as we are, and let's invest in some technology, well, then you're at 3.8 plus 1.6. Okay?
That's the answer.
So there you go.
Okay.
Right? What the difference is in when you have a middle school that's 30% open, 30% filled, and an elementary that's 75, and you have elementary schools in the 40s and 50s, that is a operating cost on staff and time and materials that is going into a proportionally few amount of students that were you to able to put them in bigger boxes, if you will, you're spending less overall on the operating. So it's a difference of upfront capital investment, long-term operating costs. And what I was saying before is that if you really want to hit both, that's in the consolidation, considering that's off the table, what we worked to do was how do you maximize the utility of your existing facilities? You, and here's the little secret, you could do all of this change, configuration change and everything, and spend nothing. You could. You don't need to add science classrooms if you really don't want to your elementaries. You don't need to beef up art classrooms and fine arts at the elementaries if you don't want to. You don't have to add the technology and all the stuff that people said they wanted. You don't. You could. We think it's important. It'd be great. But you don't absolutely have to. You have enough space in your district that you could tomorrow flip the switch and do all the recommendations. Are you? No. But you could. Mm-hmm. Right? And we're not recommending a timeline. So think of it as you could follow the recommendations and do 3.8 plus 1.6. You could follow recommendations to do 3, if you just do 3.8. Or you could do that plus the technology. Or you could do that plus the technology and educational enhancements like retooling the old admin buildings for the day program and police, those kind of things. It's a package that if you were to follow the recommendations in whole, you would have
one too. We don't even have a police force, sir.
So I was told that your police department, you would need a facility in the recommendations, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's not a home, and there would need to be a home.
But I mean,
and so
we don't even have that as like numbers and stuff. So,
we do actually have numbers in when we talk about the central office. In this 1.5 it's like half a million. Each of those buildings, 7 kids. So again, this is one of those things that as we delivered it to your facilities department, you go through line by line. The pathways for you in this report is to, you can accept it and look at it and then work through it. You can adopt it and say, we're never looking at it again, let's just follow through. Most people choose the former, frankly, which I typically recommend, right? And so, just to give you a quick next steps, and then I want to continue with the Q&A, is in this recommended steps, we recommend starting with the divesting of the surplus land holdings, then looking at configuration changes, transitioning from Lone Star attendance boundaries, because when you would change, when you do a grade configuration change, you're going to want to look at a boundary shift because Reyes is going, its current boundary is going to blow up and over 100% utilized in the 5-year term. And so you're going to have to, even if you toss this whole thing in the recycling bin, you have to change that boundary because Reyes is going to get way too full and neighboring schools are going to get way too empty. And so it's one of these things that, think of this master plan in terms of, you can go through and do a boundary change here, a critical investment there, sort of a la carte. This is an attempt to put a holistic view on everything from educational program offerings to critical repairs to boundaries and demographics in one package and how it could all fit together. And so Moving on, this is the last slide, and we can continue with discussion at this point. But beyond this master plan, ongoing recommendations are in the future, if the enrollment projections that we have, as you see, they do come to pass, and your overall enrollment does not grow, consider in the future, 3, 5, 10 years from now, whatever it may be, you might need to reduce your capacity at the elementary level. But to perform annual enrollment projections to keep track of that. Because one of the things we heard throughout this whole process was, we're growing, we're growing, we're growing. And we said, yep, yeah, right there. Right around Reyes and Alderete. And that's basically it for the next few years. But do these enrollment projections to keep up with them to see, is this needle really changing or not? And that's the sum of our presentation. So, Ms. Searles, if I answer your question correctly, you could right now do nothing, but you'd have this $3.8 million in critical repair needs that you probably should address at some point. So I really recommend you do that. Assuming you do that, you could then do the K through 6, 7, 8, 9 grade options without further investment or whole or in part of what we have identified.
I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there any further questions or comments?
Any other questions? Mr. Medina?
Good. Thank you.
Cool.
Thanks.
That's it. All done?
I do have a question. When you mentioned the Lone Star building,
right,
and you're talking about the repairs in that building, the abatement, mm-hmm, I believe we had done that in the past.
So, all on Lone Star,
we have
part of it that's just closed off, correct?
Yeah. We have a model in our cost model for all the repairs that are required on the building that incorporates the asbestos abatement as well. The abatement itself is not the big issue. It's really just the upkeep of the building. It's been basically shuttered for some time now, and buildings tend to deteriorate at that point. And in order to breathe life back into that building, you'd have to make some serious investments. And we felt that considering other alternatives and priorities, that it was lower and would make sense for the long haul to put a respectful monument of sorts towards the legacy of that site while removing from your inventory of upkeep you have to do that facility.
I guess my concern in regards to the long term, if we do sell this building as well and we move, I would say the long term growth would be in the Lone Star building better than the building next to CMS, because I guess you all, especially the ones that worked in that area, the way it was, you had those two buildings, and then you had a bunch of portables in the back, and I don't see the long-term growth if we do.
We actually don't recommend selling the site.
No.
Not just the Olcana the elementary there. That's, the Olcana the elementary is not even considered for sale, no?
At all.
Is that the one you're
no,
referring
no, no,
to?
No.
What
I'm talking about is
there's
moving.
Not enough room, and that's what I was trying to grasp. At
next to the CMS, those two buildings were the old administration.
The old central.
The daycare and
the old central office.
Building and the
old central office, yeah.
Correct. And so I would say that it would be better to maybe look at ways where we could section off and build central office into the Lone Star building. That's the way. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, but you have to remove all the Lone
with,
Star
with the condition.
Not the
Lone
Star. What I'm saying, if we were to section off.
Yeah, the condition of the Lone Star facility is such that you're going to be better off in the long term with new construction rather than reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you would decide that you want to take a derivative of these options and actually look at building something on the site of Lone Star, then I would just repurpose some of those monies identified for central admin, that 1.5, say, that portion of it, and put it into a new construction on the current site. Because the amount of money that you'll need to spend just to try to work around code issues and so forth in the Lone Star is going to eat your money into repair issues that you just need to bulldoze and move on with, frankly.
Madam Chair.
If I may, we also were mindful of the overall investment that was being recommended, and a disproportionate amount would be going towards administration versus actually in the classrooms. And we felt at this point in time, probably best to hunker down, stay in this facility for a while while we get through taking care of this grade reconfiguration, creating those assets that will attract and retain your kids within Conotillo and set them up for the future.
I guess.
Go ahead, Ms. Iglesias. Did you have a question?
Our old elementary, that building doesn't seem to be so bad. It's just that one long building where the old library was, is that right? Or the book room? It's AEP, DAP.
Yes.
Isn't that the only building that's really, really bad?
Yes.
And the other building facing that the
whatever
the
you do, you're going to have to deal with
asbestos.
The entire facility,
all of that
just not one piece.
The asbestos isn't the main piece of the pie.
The old elementary, especially. And including the
I know the Lone Star. I know the Lone Star has a lot of asbestos.
I guess we need to identify what the Lone Star is.
But well,
that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Mary, you're talking about the one that connects the old with the what used to be the high school.
Correct.
The orange portion of the
right.
We were there for a while.
They
moved us there for a while.
Yeah, central office was there for a while.
We were there.
That building too needs to be torn down. Yeah.
Well, we have all of the buildings separated out as far as their condition individually, correct?
That's right. Basically in two parts. The section that you're referring to, the clay tile roof that faces west, is the one that's right now not utilized at all, shuttered.
Right.
And that needs to be torn down.
To the point where it would be a lot easier just to start at home.
I know.
The other building is moderately used. Some of the spaces are used by some of your programs. The Bravo program has a separate building in that area. But again, it is an older facility that needs some reinvestment as well. And we felt that right sizing your portfolio is probably the best recommendation for me.
I guess, if I might, Madam Chair, I guess when we're looking at the selling off of property and when we start going into the timeline, and that's something that will probably be in the near, how do we, I guess, one, look at the properties that probably will bring in those revenues, and then looking at, because the growth is already happening in this area, and so hopefully we're able to get depending on when we start the sale of those properties, where we could probably facilitate that move into those areas. It's just something that we'll probably look at, but that's something.
Madam Chair, just a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Rodriguez.
You're saying, because I want to echo sort of what Mr. Rodriguez is saying, you're suggesting there's growth, but it's going to be offset by the drop in enrollment in other areas. There is growth, because we've heard this before. Growth is coming, just like everybody says. You're saying, let's move around Reyes boundaries to accommodate that growth.
Yeah, you have to.
But you're suggesting, because in your question and in all your projections, so we're going to stay stagnant. So however much growth we're going to see, we're just going to see that same amount of drop in enrollment. Is that correct?
2019-20. Now, beyond 2019-20,
I'm only talking about the next 4 years.
Yeah,
We can't even really imagine after 2020.
No. So the short answer is yes, you are. When you look at the 10-year historical enrollment of all of your schools, you see this just slow, steady tick down, mainly on the Western elementary schools and CMS, and then you see, of course, Grace and Alderete go up. Now, part of the discussion folks were saying is, well, that's just the students coming from the west to the east when you open Grace. Not entirely.
I guess more so the concern I have is transporting kids from the ninth grade center, your suggested ninth grade center, from CMS to our high school,
right,
no matter what. That's a big concern, even though you're suggesting there's bus routes that accommodate that. And we're still having to bus kids, not just for athletic, but for other fine arts. The capacity at AMS and CMS, pretty consistent, would you agree?
They are. They're within a couple, 200.
When we group the 7th and 8th graders, is that correct that you're suggesting we put just one giant mega school out there?
for our middle school?
Well, it would not be so mega when it's just 7th and 8th grade, but it would be one 7th through 8th grade center that would occupy, what is it? 65% of the facility, so still really plenty of elbow room.
Okay.
Between those just two grades.
And really, if we're looking at current enrollments right now, our total for CMS and AMS is a little north of 800, correct? And we're not seeing an increase in that at all. What's the capacity of each of the individual schools at this point? Do you know this off the top of your head?
I have it up here. I can pull it up.
It is part of that presentation, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, it's
800 or 900.
For AMS?
No,
the capacity.
The capacity is
really, yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
More like.
It's like 1,100.
It's like 1,100, 1,200.
1,100 to 1,300 at the two different schools. So, yeah.
That was it, man.
Any more questions? No? All set.
Item number 3, adjournment.
Thanks.
You know, we take it or we take it?
Well, I haven't done it quite yet.
Did you stay?
Adrian, did you turn one of these in?
With the electric.
Four.
You have it in your.
Four.
For Mr. Blanco.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did that.
You did it?
He only
gave
one
us. And Ms. Quintana gave it.
Okay.
It.
Well, they were telling us not to do it.